May we hope to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 693. Hymn 693, June Ellers, 752. Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love to cheer my heart and set my mind above. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face and make me gladly all thy will embrace. Draw me from all forbidden toil and care, from lust and pride and every hurtful snare. Make Satan and his hellish powers to flee, and let me have true intercourse with thee. Hymn 693, June Ellers, 752.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, reading chapter 8. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, reading chapter 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou kind and ever gracious Lord God, Lord, we plead this evening thou wouldst raise our thoughts above the ground and draw our souls to thee. Help us, Lord, to truly praise thee, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. For Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. Thou wouldst be worthy of praise, Lord, hast thou never shown us any mercy, hast thou never revealed thy goodness, the smilings of thy face, thy love in Jesus Christ. For Lord, thou art good, thou art righteous, thine lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Lord, we plead this evening that thou wouldst help us to come and to praise thee. Oh, to praise thee first for who thou art. Then, O Lord, to have to come and to praise thee for the fact thou hast revealed thyself unto us in the person and the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, thou hast revealed, Lord, that thou dost delight in mercy, that thou hast made that way whereby a sin may be remitted, whereby sinners may be pardoned, whereby death may be swallowed up of life. Lord, for the wonders of thy grace revealed in Jesus, for the fullness of thy mercies which we know in providence here day by day. Ah, Lord, not as bad as they could be, but thy mercy, Lord, and all the promise that we've read together, all things working together for good. Lord, we cannot always see these things at the time, but looking back, may our testimony be the seed, and goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And thus, Lord, that we may be enabled to come and to truly worship thee. Where, Lord, we may feel to be in darkness, where we cannot understand why things come to pass, why things take place. Why, Lord, thou dost appear to be silent unto us at times, and why thou dost appear to leave us. Oh, that we may, O Lord, be enabled to trust, enabled to hope with patience, to rest alone upon thee, who makes no mistakes, too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst sanctify our hearts and minds, draw us away, Lord, from all the things of the day. Remind us there is but one thing needful. And, O Lord, visit us with thy grace. Unveil to us the beauties of Jesus' face, the glories of our descending God, of Emmanuel. Oh, that we, O Lord, may be taken up with him, that everything else may find no room within our hearts this evening, that we might prove his name to be a balm unto our souls. Oh, that his name might be sweet unto us. That his word, Lord, might be sweeter than the honey in the comb. Oh, that we, O Lord, might find that which satisfies our soul, that which rejoices our inmost being, while we're found within thy house this evening, Jesus Christ and him crucified. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst give help in the preaching of the word. Help us to rightly divide thy word, keep the door of our lips. Deliver us, Lord, from speaking anything which shall be not only unprofitable to the people, but anything which shall more solemnly lead them astray, set them down short of Christ, cut them off without a hope. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst enable us to preach Jesus, the blessed truth of thy gospel, to expose, Lord, a sin and the sinner, and yet to reveal to poor needy souls who are crying out, says, what must we do to be saved? The glorious grace of Jesus Christ. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst give help in the desk and the giving out of the hymns. Bless the deacons here, Lord, the little church. Be with them in the burdens that they bear. Lord, may they prove thy presence is often found amongst them, those tokens of thy grace, thou hast not left them. Lord, that we might not be left to despise the day of small things, for if God be for us, what can be against us? Help us, Lord, to hold our way. We plead that thou wilt remember absent friends this evening, the parents and the children at home. Bless them, Lord. Be with them. Keep them growing up into life. Anything, Lord, they've been heard and been taught at school this day, or which is contrary to thy most holy word, Lord, we plead thou wouldst blot it out. Be teaching them of Jesus. We'd ask thou wouldst give grace to the parents or needed strength, Lord. Those that may be detained, Lord, because of work and the burdens of this life, oh, we plead thou wouldst remember them even where they are, that their heart might be up unto thee. Those, Lord, travelling, we plead thou wouldst remember them and bless thy servant in all his labours. And may he have, Lord, those souls for his hire. Bless the ministry here week by week. Oh, may there be signs following the preaching of the word here. May there be those testimonies, Lord, that thou hast been pleased to bless one or another here to the glory of thy great grace. Have mercy, Lord, upon thy cause, wherever thy servants labour this night. Grant them, Lord, liberty in the gospel. Oh, that thou wouldst apply the word with power to the good and never dying souls. Build again, Lord, the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, revive thy cause. May we yet see, Lord, and in gathering of precious souls, even in the day in which we live. Lord, strengthen the things that remain. Oh, where thou hast watched over to pull down, Lord, that thou wouldst yet watch over. Oh, to build up, to restore, to glorify thy grace and thy strength in the midst of Zion. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land. Bless our sovereign king, the royal household, our prime minister and his government. Oh, bring us, Lord, to repentance of the nation. Oh, thou wouldst be instructing us once more in the ways of wisdom. Bless thy word, Lord, as it may be read yet in our land. Oh, it is thy word, and thou hast said, promise that it shall not return unto thee void. Prepare us, Lord, for the end of all things. Oh, it is toward even, and the day is fast spent. Another day of our lives is swiftly ebbing out. Time is ever on the wing. Lord, at the close of the day, bring us back, oh, to the fact that we must shortly face that moment when time must give place to eternity. Oh, Lord, hear everything characterized by change and decay. May we be found this evening seeking after thee who changes not, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, the covenant ordered in all things and sure. Lord, prepare us for that moment when we must leave this earth. Oh, that, Lord, thou wouldst speak sweetly in the promise this evening, that Jesus is coming again to receive his people unto himself, that where he is, there they may be also. To know, Lord, that we have a place among them through the precious blood of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to praise thee for thy mercies during another day. Oh, thy love, Lord, thy grace. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us to see thy mercies even in the midst of darkness, amidst of trouble. Oh, Lord, may we be enabled to praise thee, for praise is always goodly. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, speak, Lord, to those that sit in dust. Awake and sing. Oh, that, Lord, our eyes might be up higher, that our hearts might be drawn up higher. Oh, that we might have that tongue which would speak of the things concerning the King, the pen of a ready writer. That, Lord, thou wouldst cause us, the Philip and Paul and Silas sang in the prison at midnight. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, help us to sing. That, Lord, fast upon the heels of praise, thou wouldst send deliverance and the visits of thy grace. Oh, shake the prison, let the prisoners go free. We'd ask that thou wouldst be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. Feed us with food convenient for us. Satisfy us with living bread. Send none empty away. Help us, Lord, to sing thy praise. Help us above all else to worship thee. May Jesus Christ be first, last, and all in all. Keep us, Lord, from sin in holy things. Oh, wash us truly from all our iniquities. Take away, Lord, the love of sin and be our Alpha and our Omega, our all in all. Deliver us, Lord, from the wretchedness of unbelief. Oh, deliver us from cursed pride, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, reveal unto us Jesus, that everything else might fall into his right place. That we might know, as one has said, had I a glimpse of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Vanish as though I saw them not, as a dim candle dies at noon. Ah, Lord, only thou canst do it. Oh, hither to our aid. Forgive us, Lord, all our sins. Visit us with thy salvation. We'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn number 330. Hymn 330 to tune Carlisle, number 17. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake, though in a foreign land, we are not far from home, and nearer to our house above we every moment come. His grace shall to the end stronger and brighter shine, nor present things, nor things to come, shall quench the spark divine. Hymn 330, tune Carlisle, number 17.
Thank you.
Lord would help me this evening and grant you prayerful attention, I direct you to a text you'll find in the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46. We'll read from the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 46. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. It is to the words that you'll find in verse 5 that I wish to draw your attention this evening. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Who is the one spoken of in this text? God is in the midst of her. It is the church, the city of God, that is spoken of in the previous verse. Oh Zion, of whom wondrous things are spoken. The church of God in every generation from Adam's day down till now. God is in the midst of her. But oh friends, it is not only true of the church of the body, it is true of every one of the Lord's dear people personally. And individually, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This is a truth which we can scarcely comprehend. God dwelleth in me. Oh, friends, can you say that this evening? God dwelleth in me. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be saved by grace. Oh, you know, friends, there's nothing woolly about being a Christian. We emphasise experience, we emphasise it rightly, but oh friends, I would not leave you this evening thinking that being a Christian depends upon experience. Being a Christian comes down to this fundamental truth, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The hymn writer says, have I union to the church's living head. And Jesus, speaking of that union in John chapter 15, he says, oh, except ye abide in me, and I abide in you. Oh, friends, no fruit, no evidence of life, no change made by grace. That's what it is to be a Christian, to have God dwelling in the midst of us. God dwelling in me, God dwelling in you. Friends, it's a thought beyond our understanding, is a thought beyond imagination. It's a thought really beyond our conception. Oh, the hymn writer expresses it like this, doesn't he? Unholy dwelling, glorious guest. Unholy dwelling, glorious guest. Ah, what can ever God dwell here? But that's what the Word of God declares. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the place where God dwells. God dwells in the midst of the Lord's people. The Apostle Paul says, it is not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And he speaks of Christ being formed in us, the hope of glory. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of his church. Friends, we must not separate in that sense between the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, God. There's a very real sense where the Father is, the Son is and the Holy Spirit is. We must not ever think of them as three gods. How often we do. Left to ourselves, we separate between them. Oh, friends, one God. God dwelleth in us. God dwelleth in us. He dwelleth in us particularly, makes his presence known in the person of the Holy Spirit. Or as he enters in to give life, to communicate life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he works our work of grace. Oh, I give another comforter, says Jesus. He shall dwell in you. He shall lead you in the truth. He shall take the things of Jesus and reveal them unto you. He will sanctify you by the truth, lead you, keep you, guide you. It is particularly the Holy Spirit that is made known to dwell in us. But who is the Holy Spirit? The one that the Father sends forth, the Spirit of the Father, and is sent forth upon the grounds of the request of Jesus Christ, upon the grounds of the merit of his death. He hath ascended up on high. He hath received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. And chief among those gifts, the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Christ. God dwelleth in us. And oh, friends, I must emphasise this fact this evening. Oh, you know, if faith can get hold of this fact this evening, God dwelleth in me, then, friends, darkness will be turned to life, light. Distress will be turned to joy. God dwelleth in me. Oh, friends, this is not any man, you know. This is not your best friend. It's not your husband or your wife. It's not your parent, your children. Friends, it's not your nearest and dearest. It's somebody far better than that. It's the eternal God. Oh, how often we take refuge in man. How often we take refuge in those that we love, those that we look up to, perhaps the Lord's servants or those that have been our fathers, our teachers in Christ. But oh, friends, they're not the one that is spoken of in our text. God is in the midst of her. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, you know, friends, how much trouble, how much pain, how much darkness we bring upon ourselves because we lose sight of this fact. God is in the midst of her. And perhaps you say to me this evening, well, I believe what's written here in the Word of God. God is in the midst of her. Yes, God dwells in me. But oh, friends, have you taken hold of that fact for all the fullness it contains? Or are you thinking small thoughts of the one that dwells in you? What do I mean? Friends, how often we feel so wretched, beyond help. Our sins seem so great. We conclude we're going to make shipwreck. We can conclude that everything's going to be turned into despair and darkness at last. We conclude we're going to be brought to nothing. Our enemies are going to destroy us. Our troubles are going to overwhelm us. Sin is going to cast us at last to hell. No, friends, God is in the midst of us. The hymn writer expresses it like this: our God is above men, devils, and sin. Oh, friends, from him proceed the matters of death. Ah, friends, he holds the keys of heaven and hell in his hands. The matters of life and death belong unto him. He is able. Oh, remember this one that dwells in the midst of us. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He brought the worlds into existence. By his voice, he spoke and it was done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God is in the midst of her. Ah, friends, you look round at creation this evening, the glories of creation, the wonders of it. The God that created the heaven and the earth dwells in his people. Again, we do not want to keep coming back to the hymn book, but sometimes the hymn writer picks it up so beautifully, brings so much together. But he speaks there, the voice that rolls the stars along, speaks all the promises. Oh, friends, it's the same God. The same God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, he spake. The eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Spirit there, oh, the voice, the breath of God, which the psalmist declares, formed the world. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, our Creator, he dwells in us. Oh, friends, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything impossible for him this evening? Oh, have you lost sight this evening that he is a Creator? Can an all-creating arm grow weary and decay? God is in the midst of her. The same God which created the world, the same God which created man upon the earth. Ah, friends, he dwells in us. When you see all the wonders of creation, Lord, it might remind you this evening, is anything too hard for the Lord? But then, friends, this God that dwells in us, oh, he's not only the God of creation, is he? The God of providence. God hasn't just created the world and let it get on his own. No, God has wisely ordered every circumstance that comes to pass. Nothing happens without his permission. Everything is being ordered according to his all-wise decree. Ah, friends, no circumstance this evening. No, our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. He knows all things. He's caused all things to come. They've all come to pass according to what we read in Romans 8. All things working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And oh, if we know some of our texts this evening, do we not have to look back and see how he's made no mistakes? Friends, he is all wise. His dealings with us are righteous. Oh, they're uniform, though various. He deals with us in different ways at different times, but they're all to one end. His honour and his glory and the good of his people. And this God, who this evening is ordering every circumstance in the world and every circumstance in your life, our text declares he's in the midst of us, he dwells in us, the God of providence. But oh, friends, he's also the God of salvation, isn't he? By his own arm he bought salvation. The God of salvation. The God that saves. That's the very declaration of the name of Jesus Christ. He, God, shall save his people from their sins. Ah, friends, how does he save? God comes into this world. The Word made flesh and dwelling among us. Oh, the person of Emmanuel, God with us. God saves. Why? Because he delights in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage, remembereth their sins and iniquities no more, because he delighteth in mercy? Oh, friends, the one that dwells in us, this God, he's a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love. Oh, he freely dispenses those favours in the hearts of his people. Oh, that we might have a right view, you see, of this God this evening. A right view of his strength, a right view of his power, a right view of his wisdom, a right view of his righteousness. Oh, friend, he's a holy God. We were trying to consider, if I remember rightly, the last time we were here, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. He is a holy God. Oh, friends, how this truth in that sense should make us tremble. God dwelleth in us. God dwelleth in us. Ah, friends, if we had a sense of this more often, you see, if faith really gets hold of this evening, how it will make us tremble. Oh, we're unclean. Can ever God dwell here? Our text declares, if we're one of the Lord's people, God is in the midst of us. Oh, what a searching thought when we realise, oh, friends, the sins of another day. The thoughts that so often are captivated by the things of this world, a heart that cleaveth to the dust. God dwelleth in us. Oh, friends, he's holy. Why does he continue to dwell with us? Because there can be no joining together of God and sin. He cannot look upon sin with any degree of lenience. How, therefore, can he dwell in the midst of sinners? Ah, friends, because of his mercy and his grace. Because he is the God of salvation. He's provided righteousness for his own dear people. Oh, friends, has provided for them holiness, provided for them sanctification, all in the personal work of his own dear Son, and the applicatory work of the Holy Spirit. God is in the midst of us. Oh, you see, friends, the one that is in the midst of us, he's a refuge and strength in time of trouble. He is greater than our sins, greater than our enemies. Ah, friends, he is above all things. He's able to do all things. He's able to sanctify, to preserve, to keep, to call, to hold up, to bring safely through, to bring to glory. And there, oh, that his people should dwell with him forever. God is in the midst of us. We lose so much comfort, you know, friends, by losing sight of this fact. God is in the midst of her. We conclude we've got no hope. Oh, but the truth is, God is in the midst of her. It's declared throughout the Word of God in various ways. Hebrews 13, we read there, don't we? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, friends, these are not empty words. They're not empty words. The devil would tell you they're empty words. The devil would try to qualify them this evening and tell you there's some reason why this evening those words don't mean anything to you. Some reason this evening why you cannot appropriate them. No, friends, they're not empty words. Oh, when Jesus Christ says always, when God says, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Friends, when God says, I am in the midst of her, I am with thee. And that's what he says, doesn't he? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, I've redeemed thee, called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Friends, he never leaves his people. And it's not just that he is with us. The truth is, he's in the midst of us. He dwells in us. We must emphasise that this morning, this evening. God is in the midst of her. In the midst of her. Oh, friends, he's not just by us. He's actually in us. He dwells in us. And that is the comfort and the consolation of the Lord's people. God in me. Christ in me. The Holy Spirit in me. Oh, friends, without that we have no hope. But with that, oh, then we have all the consolation that we read of in Romans chapter 8. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, you see, friends, everything in that chapter, it comes down to this God. It doesn't come down to the poor sinner. No, what did Paul have to say concerning himself? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? There is now therefore no condemnation to whom? Them which are in Christ Jesus. Them which are in Christ Jesus. Those that are found in our text. God is in the midst of her. Oh, too often we look to man. We look to ourselves and try to find some hope there, some salvation there. Oh, friends, you'll never find anything but that which will cast you to despair. But God. Oh, but God. That's where the poor sinner has to look. That's where the poor sinner has to rest. On God and on God alone. It's upon the truth in our text. God is in the midst of her. The eternal God. Our refuge. Our strength. Our comfort. Our consolation. Our all. God is in the midst of her. But then, friends, we read of two things that God does as he dwells in the midst of his people. And we want to briefly consider them. In turn, firstly, she shall not be moved. Secondly, God shall help her. And the third thing we want to bring out of this word this evening is the time that he will do it, and that right early. And that right early. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Firstly, she shall not be moved. Oh, friends, God dwelling in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Oh, what does this speak of? It speaks of the keeping power of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? God dwelling in the midst of us. Oh, friends, we cannot fall. We cannot be destroyed. We must be preserved. Why? Because God is in the midst of us. Oh, the strong garrison that keeps the city. The army within that defends the town of Mansoul. Oh, God is in the midst of her. Not man. God. Oh, you see, friends, this is the consolation of the Lord's people. It's not us that keep ourselves. Oh, have you tried to keep yourself? The hymn writer speaks of it, doesn't he? The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Friends, are you trying to keep yourself this evening? Trying to keep yourself from sin? Let's begin there for a moment. Trying to keep yourself from sin. Don't get me wrong. Oh, that we might fight more against sin that rises up within us. That's what the Word of God calls us to. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Little children, cease from idols. Oh, friends, we should be found seeking daily to flee those things, to turn away from them, to flee youthful lusts. Oh, the language used by the Word of God, it speaks of imperatives. Ah, friends, that's what we're to be found seeking after. But if you try of your own strength, oh, friends, if you try without this truth, God is in the midst of her, you'll prove you're utterly unable to keep yourself. You'll fall. At times the Lord's people, oh, when they are left to look away from God, he allows them to fall. That they might be brought back to this glorious truth, God is in the midst of her. They might know where their strength is, where their hope is, where they must look to day by day, the one from which they must draw strength and consolation, God, and God alone. She shall not be moved. Oh, we just bring that thought in there, perhaps as one that concludes, well, God can't be in me because I've been moved today. Oh, perhaps you've fallen today. Oh, Asa fell, didn't he? As for me, my steps had well nigh gone, my feet had well nigh slipped. Ah, friends, the Lord's people do fall. We're not promised perfection here. Look through the Word of God, it's falling from beginning to end, isn't it? Oh, Abraham fell. That man's amazing faith. Brought out of Ur of the Chaldees, go forth. He went forth not knowing whither he went. But oh, friends, he comes into Egypt. And for some strange reason, he doesn't think that the God who has promised him a land is able to keep Sarah from the wandering eyes of the Egyptians. And so there is that deceit. Oh, he put his trust in man instead of in his God. God is in the midst of her, we shall not be moved. Oh, friends, we would not this evening pick holes in the saints. But these things are written for our instruction. They're written for our consolation. So the devil's telling you now, well, this text cuts you off this evening because you've been moved, you've fallen. Oh, friends, no. Those things teach us where our strength must be, where our hope must be. They are the things that the Lord permits to remind us. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh, they bought David, didn't they? When he fell there again, unbelief. Oh, friends, how often our sins come back to unbelief. There in the garrison of the Philistines, why was he there? Fleeing from Saul. Oh, friends, there are other times in David's life where he plainly believed that Saul could not destroy him. Ah, he was safe. Why? God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. But other times when, filled with unbelief, he fled. He went to the Philistines, went into Gath. Oh, they began to point at him and say, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. He began to feel them breathing down his neck, began to see them putting their hand on their sword. Oh, he feigned madness, didn't he? But where did it bring him to at last? Oh, it brought him here. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. Oh, friends, David had to prove, you see, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh, friends, what a mercy today if your wanderings, if your slips and falls bring you back to anchor in his grace, bring you back to have to rest upon this truth. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Oh, friends, the truth is, you see, we cannot finally be lost. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. She shall not be moved. She shall not be lost. No, he'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. For oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, nor God e'er lose a saint, eternally safe. None can pluck them from the strength of Israel's hands. Oh, friends, this is the strength of God, you see. This is the strength of God. Oh, you know what a child of God would have to overcome in order to fall. What a child of God would have to overcome in order to fall. Oh, have you ever considered that? You know, friends, you see, when we forget the first part of this text, God is in the midst of her, we don't think the child of God has got to overcome much to fall eternally. Oh, one sin. Oh, the condemnation, the blackness, the despair, the no hope. Oh, the feeling that we've cut off and fallen forever. But God is in the midst of us. Oh, friends, we haven't reckoned with this fact. God is in the midst of us. You know, dear child of God, this evening, you have got to overcome the power which created the world. You've got to overcome the power of the everlasting God in order to fall. To fall eternally out of His hands. God is in the midst of us. She shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. Oh, you see, friends, if He said the best of men is with her. If He said some high priest was with her, some minister was with her, she shall not be moved. Oh, friends, we may fear how easily she should be moved. But God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh, she shall not even be moved an inch. Oh, friends, she shall not be moved a fraction of a measurement. No. Kept. Kept. Upheld. Oh, you see, when Asaph was brought to see this, friends, where did it bring him to? Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, the eternal God, you see, God is in the midst of her. Our Saviour. She shall not be moved. Oh, you see, friends, our salvation, it rests upon the person and the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Not upon you. Not upon your righteousness. Upon the righteousness of the God-man. Upon the righteousness of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, it doesn't rest upon your works. It rests upon His works. Oh, and He, a faithful son, He learned obedience. He kept the law. Magnified the law and made it honourable. In Him there was never found the shadow. Oh, friends, a shadow of sin. Pilate confessed it. No fault in this man. The dying thief confessed it. We indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing. Nothing amiss. Oh, you know, friends, those words, bold, capital letters, underlined, nothing amiss. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Friends, it's upon His death, upon His obedience this evening, that the salvation of the poor tried child of God stands. She shall not be moved. It's upon the grounds of His precious blood. Oh, blood which has power to cleanse from all sin. Blood which makes the foulest sinner clean. Come now, says the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, oh, they shall be as wool, utterly washed away. This is the standing place of the child of God. She shall not be moved. And oh, we stand as well upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you see, friends, preparation for glory. Ah, do you feel this evening that glory seems so far off? You feel so unholy. You're still having to prove you've got a body of sin and death. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? How shall ever God dwell here in glory? Glory before you. Oh, can you ever go to glory? Yes, friends. Oh, the work is the work of the Holy Spirit, and He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That work will be perfect. It's the work of God. He makes no mistakes. Oh, friends, His work is perfect. And it will be completed. He's got the power to complete it, the wisdom to complete it, the means to complete it. She shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. Ah, friends, that work must go on apace, preserved, kept, unable to fall, unable to be lost, eternally safe, all upon the grounds of this God. God is in the midst of her. And then, friends, it rests upon this, doesn't it? The Father's love. Oh, God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. The whole of our salvation rests upon the fact the Father loved. Loved in eternity past. Ah, friends, He loved us in Christ upon the cross at Calvary. He loved us when a wretch defiled by sin. The hymn writer says, as Kent says, loved when a wretch defiled by sin. Oh, friends, that's the reason we were saved. That's the reason He dwells in us, because He loved us. And that love can never change, unaltering, undiminishing. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, dear child of God, you're safe this evening, you're kept. Ah, you cannot fall, she shall not be moved, you cannot be moved. Eternally safe because of my love. God is in the midst of her, a God of love. Ah, God who loved. She shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. This, you see, friend, speaks of God's keeping, God's preserving. It's each part of the chain. Oh, that it's a chain that links those steps together that we read of in Romans 8. Or whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Oh, every one of those steps is vitally important. To us, friends, what a thin thread they seem to hang on. A thin thread, unbelief says it's going to snap any moment. Oh, yes, you may have been called, but what about glory? What about glory? Oh, friends, the chain that hangs them together is God. God is in the midst of her. The eternal God. Oh, the eternal God. We were trying on Lord's Day to consider those words in the 21st Psalm, where it's spoken of that blessing, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. The word prevent there meaning going before. The old English meaning of prevent, the true meaning perhaps of the word prevent, has become completely turned round to mean the complete opposite. But thou preventest him, thou goest before him with the blessings of goodness. Oh, friends, what are the blessings of goodness? We try to put it simply like this, the blessings of godness. Why? Because, oh friends, in Jesus Christ, for sinners, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he's gone before. That's the chain, you see, friends. Oh, that is what gives the poor sinner hope today. I go to prepare a place for you. Because I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself where I am. There you may be also. Oh, what does our hope rest upon for the end of the work of grace, for glory? The eternal God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh, the faith this evening might see that which links all of those steps in Romans 8 is God himself. God himself. Therefore, oh, they cannot be broken. And that's what Paul reiterates there in the closing verses as picked up in your middle hymn. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, you see, friends, that is a sermon, isn't it, on this. She shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. Why? Because God is in the midst of her. Oh, that love. The love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there it is. Oh, for all of his poor people, safe, kept eternally safe. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. But we must hasten. The psalmist continues, God shall help her. God shall help her. Oh, if we can just distinguish this from the previous. Oh, kept. You know, friend, it's a wonderful thing to believe that we will be kept, that we will be brought at last to glory. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about the in-between? Well, friends, that's what this speaks of. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that somebody is holding you up. It's a wonderful thing to know that somebody is walking with you, that you have somebody's company with you. But how much better when you know they're with you to help you. With you to lift you up when falling. With you to speak a word in season. Ah, friends, with you every step of the way. To this end, to help you. God shall help her. God shall help her. Oh, you see, friends, God doesn't only keep his people. But God helps them every step of the way. There's no step in between. No step in between which is missed out. And that's the emphasis of this. Or we could say the previous is the overarching. Oh, she shall not be moved, she shall be kept. But while she's being kept, while she's being kept in that place of safety, God's helping her. Oh, God is completing the work that he has begun. God shall help her. Again in Romans 8, oh, we read there of a number of aspects of the way God shall help her. He shall protect her. God before us, who can be against her? Oh, friends, he will speak to silence all her enemies. But we wanted to come particularly to that we read concerning the Holy Ghost there. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, there we read of one aspect of the way God helps his people. The Holy Spirit dwells in us to help our infirmities. And the word in the original there is in the singular, to help our infirmity. Oh, you know, friends, the Lord's people, they're brought to realise they only really have one infirmity. What's that? Sin. Everything flows from that, doesn't it? The fall. That's the infirmity of the Lord's people in the singular. Oh, it has many aspects. And in that sense, we believe that's what the translators were attempting to bring out here. The Spirit itself making intercession for us. All our infirmities. All our infirmities. Rutherford said, oh, that I had not of myself. Ah, friends, the fruit of sin in ourself. The fallen heart. Body of sin and death. The effects of sin. Oh, in the world about us. Those that rise up against us. Oh, friends, it all flows from that singular infirmity, sin. Oh, thou hideous monster, sin. What a curse hast thou brought in. But all. Oh, he helpeth our infirmity. All the effects of sin that we are subject to in this world. Oh, God is there to help us. God is there to help us. Our old sinful nature. Oh, he's stronger. He's stronger. God is greater than your heart, you know, this evening. Oh, friends, if you feel the weakness of your heart, if you feel, well, the weakness is one way to put it, if you feel the strength of your old nature. Oh, the old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace. And oft times seems to hide gain the field when Jesus hides his face. Oh, friends, the strength of old nature. But God is in the midst of her. He will help her. Oh, he's stronger, you know. Stronger than all your sinful inclinations. Oh, friends, all those things arise up within you. You have to mourn over. He's stronger. He will help her. Oh, friends, he does. He does. He subdues those things at times, doesn't he? Gives the sight of Jesus' face. Breaks the snares. Sets us free. He will help her. Oh, the infirmity that is spoken of there, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ignorance. Ah, friend, your ignorance this evening. He will help her. Oh, he sent his Spirit to instruct us, to lead us in all truth, to take to the things of Jesus and to reveal them unto us. Ah, friends, are you needing this evening his teaching? Do you feel your ignorance when you come to the Word of God that appears to be dark and a closed book? He will help her. Oh, it's to him we must look. He will help her. When we do not know which way to take, he will help her. Oh, we know not. How often our experience is summed up in this, we know not what. We know not what. Oh, we don't know which way to take. We don't understand the case with ourselves. Oh, we seem so confused. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? He will help her. He will help her. Oh, the Spirit bears that witness with our spirit. We are the sons of God. Whereby we cry, Abba Father, he will help her. Oh, friends, how often we have to mourn that ignorance. You see, the fruit of the fall, you know. Sin darkened the light, but he will help her. But he continues, oh, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, friends, what is the intercession of the Spirit? It's as he communicates the will of God to us. as he reveals God's will to us. The intercession of Jesus Christ. Oh friends, Jesus presents us to God. But the Holy Spirit may be said to work the other way round. He intercedes with us. Oh friends, he makes our will comply to the will of God. He gives us our submissive spirit. He reveals Jesus unto us. He reveals the Father's love, reveals that smiling face at the throne of grace and says, pray. Oh, you're coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Oh, you see, friends, we do nothing without the Spirit. The Spirit's intercession is absolutely vital. We do nothing without it. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Yes, friends, he teaches us how to pray. He makes us pray. Oh, have you known the intercession of the Spirit, perhaps in the midst of busy scenes of life, where all of a sudden you've had to pray for something? He's brought something to your mind. Ah, oh, friends, he's burdened your soul with that. He said, pray. It's with groanings that cannot be uttered. We can't put these things into words. You can't always explain why you had to pray. You can't always explain why that thing came to your mind to pray for at that time. And there are other times when he works in reverse. Oh, friends, you think you'll pray about something. But you go to prayer and you pray about many things. When you get up, you haven't prayed for it. Why? Oh, because the Spirit's made intercession. It's not according to the will of God. The Spirit works both ways, you see. Oh, he told Paul that he could not go into Bithynia. The Spirit forbade him. But when the call came from Macedonia, come over into Macedonia and help us. Oh, the Spirit set before Paul an open door which no man could shut. The intercession of the Holy Spirit in prayer works both ways. But oh, the intercession of the Holy Spirit, you know. What was it that made the dying, publican go up to the temple? You know, friends, that's a mystery, isn't it? That dear man dared not even look up to heaven. He felt himself to be such a sinner, but where was he? He was in the temple, in the holy place. Why on earth had he gone up there? Oh, surely if he'd gone up there, he would have been able to look up to heaven. Ah, friends, what had taken him up there? The intercession of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit had convinced him of sin. Convinced him of his need of mercy. Convinced him that there was only one place for mercy. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. He must go to the place of the shedding of blood. Or it was the Holy Spirit that brought him there. The dear woman with the issue of blood. Ah, friends, what was it that made her come to Jesus? The intercession of the Holy Spirit. Or has she heard of Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit convinced her of the fact, if she might but touch the hem of his garment, she should be made perfectly whole? And she gets there and she finds a crowd. Oh, we'd have turned back, wouldn't we? Why did she not turn back? The Spirit make his intercession for her with groanings that cannot be uttered. Go on, go on. Oh, God is in the midst of her. God shall help her. This is the way, you see, friends, God helps his people. It's with groanings that cannot be uttered. You can't put your finger on it this evening. You know, some people seem to have a cut and dried religion, if I can put it that way. They tell you the Spirit prompted them to do this, the Spirit prompted them to do that. Well, friends, in one sense, it's true. Everything the Lord's people do that's good and towards God is the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because we'd never do anything of goodness without his help. But oh, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Do you feel this evening the Apostle Paul puts his finger right on it there? With groanings that cannot be uttered. You can't begin to describe at times the Spirit's work within you. Why you had to do something. But it was the Spirit. With groanings that cannot be uttered. Oh, friends, don't expect to be able to put all your religion into words, you know. If you feel this evening you can't really talk of those things. Oh, the Apostle Paul felt he couldn't, could he? With groanings that cannot be uttered. That's all he could say. With groanings that cannot be uttered. But the Apostle Paul had the fruit of the groanings that cannot be uttered in his life. And that's the important thing. Oh, can you say this evening, I can't describe how I've been helped to do this. I can't describe why I've had to do that. But I know this, that I've been helped to do it, and I've been brought to do it by the Spirit and by the Spirit alone. I'd have never done it of myself. Oh, I have to attribute everything to this. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her. Help her in all things. No exceptions. It's all the way he leads. It's all the way he teaches. Oh, you know, friends, we can never ascribe too much to God. In the soul's experience, in the way we're led, it's God. God is in the midst of her. He will help her. Help her infirmities. Oh, friends, the sufficiency likewise. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. If you look up that word helpeth, you'll find it speaks of one who comes alongside and puts their hand out, holds by the side. That's what the word literally means, holds by the side. The Holy Spirit holds by the side. Oh, friends, that's what God does, you see. God is in the midst of us. Oh, he lifts us up. He carries us. He bears us underneath the everlasting arms. That's another way in which the Word of God describes this help, underneath the everlasting arms. Oh, it speaks of them, doesn't it, as being a pavilion round about our head, covered by the feathers of his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, God is in the midst of her. He will help her. All embracing. All encompassing. Exactly where we are. This is not a helper far off, you know. Our friends, this evening, in that sense, this is not a help that we have to look to, we have to go to. This help is in the midst of her. This help is always with her. Never far from us, it's in the midst of us. If you are given a sense of that this evening by the Holy Spirit, what a comfort. Oh, friends, there'll be no difficulty, no trouble too great. God is in the midst of her, the eternal God. He will help her. Well, friends, as much as could be said. Oh, the whole of the life of grace. Is there anything in your life this evening, dear child of God, that you do not have to look back to and say, it's bound up in these words, he would help. Hither by thy help I've come. Ah, if he had not helped you, you'd be nowhere. But hither by thy help I've come. Oh, and you see, resting upon the truth of our text, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. When? Oh, you say, when will he help me this evening? Perhaps you're in the midst of trouble. When will he help me? And that right early. And that right early. You'll notice the margin reading translates that as when the morning appeareth. God shall help her when the morning appeareth. Now, you know, friends, the morning doesn't come before its appointed time. You can't rush the morning on. You can't rush the morning on. But the morning certainly comes. Covenant of day and night cannot be broken. You know, if you're laying awake in the middle of the night and it's dark, oh, you wish the hours away. You wish that the sun would rise, but you can't bring the sun any sooner than it will come. But you know that it will come. You know that the moment will come when the light will begin to appear round the curtain. And that's the comfort of our text. Oh, you see, friends, Jesus says, doesn't he, your time is always. My time is not yet. My time is not yet. Ah, friends, so often we expect this help now. But the help will come when the morning appeareth. You say to me, well, what is the comfort in that? The comfort is this, the morning will appear. The morning will appear. Oh, we cannot break the covenant of day and night. We cannot break the fact that God will help her. God will help. Oh, friends, help is certain. Our weeping may endure for the night. For a little while, he says, I have forsaken thee. Oh, with great mercy I will gather thee. Tarry his leisure then, as your hymn said, wait the appointed hour. There is an appointed hour, and it will come. He will help her. That's where the certainty is. He will help her. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of thy soul reveal himself with power. Ah, friends, because he will. He will help her. He will help her. Ah, you may be in the midst of the darkness this evening. You may be in the midst of the night. But all that faith may be enabled to rest on this, he will help her. Our mourning will come. The time of joy will come. Our winter will pass. The sound of the turtle dove, the sound of the singing will again be heard in the land. The fig tree will put forth her leaves. He will come. He will help. Or certainly as morning, as night gives way to day, he will help. We can't dictate the time. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But we can be certain of this. He never is before his time, he never is too late. The psalmist confesses, doesn't he, in the 18th Psalm, as for God, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. And when joy cometh in the morning, you know, friends, or the night, what a different complexion it has. How quickly it is forgotten. As the travail of a woman in childbirth is quickly forgotten. For joy that a man-child is born into the world. Ah, friends, when the morning comes, the night of weeping is forgotten. Put behind us, he will help her. Oh, he will help her as certainly as the morning must come when the morning appeareth. He will help her right early. Oh, friends, he doesn't make any tarrying this evening. Don't think that if he's tarrying, that he's tarrying on purpose. Oh, friends, that he's tarrying to cause grief. That he's tarrying to cause you distress. That's not the way he works. Ah, friends, no, written over his grief, though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his tender mercies. Oh, the Lord tarried, didn't he? When Lazarus lay a dying, he tarried till he was dead, till he sank in the tomb. Why? Oh, purpose of love, a purpose of mercy, that they might behold his glory, that they might see their Saviour in a way. Oh, such a glorious revelation of his mercy and his grace, Jesus wept, that they might see the fullness of the gospel truth. I am the resurrection and the life. Ah, friends, he will help her, and that right early. If he appears to be tarrying this evening, his time is perfect. There's a purpose in it. All things working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And finally, that right early, when the morning appeareth. Oh, we read that Jesus is a day star. The day star from on high that has visited us, says Zechariah. Oh, that is that glorious title of him in Revelation. Oh, you know, when the Lord appears. Ah, when he helps you, friends, it will be a morning. The darkness then will flee away. Oh, when Jesus appears, however dark it may appear to be, it will be morning. It will be morning to your soul. Your circumstances will be changed. Your feelings will be changed. Your sorrows and sighings will flee away. Oh, friends, you'll rejoice. The wilderness will be turned into a fruitful field. Ah, when morning appears, he will help her. And it will be as the appearing of morning. Ah, friends, it will be a time of joy, a time of delight, a time of gladness, a time of rejoicing in him. God is in the midst of her. A time of union and communion. A time of praise. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rise early. Oh, friends, look to him. Look to him. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on me. Wait on him away. Be constant, though weak. For him who thou seekest will not tarry long. God is in the midst of her. Oh, friends, he's not far this evening. He's not far. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of you, dear child of God. Oh, and he's there to preserve you to the end. He's there to keep you by his power. To bring you safe to glory. And every step of your life between now and glory. This is the promise. He will help her. He will help her. And that right early. At his appointed time. Oh, but his appointed time will come. Oh, the vision is for appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will come. It will come. As sure as the morning. And oh, friends, when he comes, the sorrows and the sighing of the night will be forgotten. And you'll rejoice in the precious evidences that you have that he has not forgotten you, but that he is still with you. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. and that right early. Amen.
Just say, friends, that the Lord knew how I needed his help to choose him tonight. When I was led to the second hymn, my eyes went across the page to 329. And I thought that must be our last hymn. But because it's such a well-known hymn, the devil tempted me I shouldn't give it out. And I look for another one. And if you turn back to the few pages before, you will see hymn after hymn, Jehovah, the strength of his people. As thy days, thy strength shall be. And I chose one of those. But when I entered the house tonight, I knew I had to go back to the one which the Lord had chosen, 329. And it was these verses, 3 and 4, together with the last one. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, never forsake. Hymn 329, to the tune Charlie Wood, 827.
Yeah.
Worship of thy house this evening. Seal, Lord, thy word home upon our hearts. Oh, that we may be enabled, Lord, to rest upon it this evening and to live resting upon it. Lord, if any, the question is, oh, does God dwell in the midst of me? Lord, we plead thou wouldst be revealing thyself with power unto them. And may none rest until they have that knowledge that God is in the midst of them. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst continue to keep, continue to help unto the end. Bid darkness flee and the day of break. Part us with thy blessing. Take us, Lord, to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us throughout the remainder of our short and uncertain lives and bring us safe to heaven at last. Forgive us our every sin. We'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.